You're listening to Soul Sense. I'm Silkina, and I'm on a mission to raise human consciousness through the daily practice of mindfulness. This podcast is for everyone searching to meet their true, authentic selves. I'm here to simplify spirituality and guide you to fully trust yourself and believe in your own magical powers, your imagination, and intuition. Thank you for listening. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Soul Sense with Silkina. Thank you so much for being here. Your presence is appreciated. I hope you are doing fantastic. A super short intro before we get into this episode. We spoke to Lisa Riding. She is a mindset and body confidence coach. I had such an amazing conversation with her. It was so expansive, so many aha moments, and such an important episode as well, as a lot of people are dealing with wanting to live healthy lifestyle, especially in the past 2 years. We know what we've gone through with the pandemic, just having this, you know, healthcare and self-care crisis. Wanting to adopt healthy habits is so needed right now. And we mainly talked about the role of the mind when it comes to transforming our eating habits and just overall healthy habits in general. I find that resonates with me so much because half of the time, it's not about what I'm doing, but it's about how I react to what I'm doing. So if I'm eating a cookie and it's making me feel guilty, that is automatically my thoughts around that cookie, right? So Lisa gave a lot of amazing tips on how to befriend the voice in your head and how to start transforming our mind to see the good in the things that we're doing. If you are new here, you probably don't know that I'm on Instagram, but now you know. You can follow me there, Soul Sense with Silkina. I've also been enjoying making YouTube videos, you guys. If you love YouTube, like me, you can head on over to YouTube and just type Soul Sense with Silkina, and you can watch all of my videos there. I've really been enjoying making YouTube videos. It's so much more natural for me because I feel comfortable in front of the camera. So if you like YouTube, check me out over there. And if you like meditations, I'm also on Insight Timer, where you can find my guided meditations. I'm just a busy bee, you guys. You would think it keeps me so busy, but actually I have a lot of downtime. It's all about prioritizing and making time for the things that you love. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Please share it with your friends, family, in WhatsApp groups, Instagram groups, Facebook groups, wherever you think people could benefit from this conversation. I hope you enjoy it, and I will see you on the other side. Seeing your Insta story where you shared, like, if I hear someone putting weight loss and wellness in the same sentence, like, my mind is gonna get blown.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. Why do you think people kind of put those two together?
Oh my God, there are so many things to say about that. But I think people do, well, we're taught that we've learned that if you are in a bigger body, you probably have certain habits that are not, well, I'm not going to say that because that's like what is really behind it, but we're just taught that bigger people aren't healthy. We grow up with that image of people in general, like we grow up with that judgment as a fact and we don't actually question it. So yeah. If we see a big person, a big bodied person, we're just going to assume that they are unhealthy, and we're going to see a thin person, not too thin, because apparently that's not good either, but we're going to see a thin person and we're going to assume that they are healthy. Even doctors do these things, and that makes me so angry.
You're like, so really, right, really doctors angry. Do that, because I remember back in April I had a backache, and in Indonesia we have like this digital health app where you can just chat with doctors and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she was asking me, she's like, oh, what did you do? And I was like, I don't know. I think I jumped on my trampoline. And I thought that was one of the reasons why I had the backache, was jumping on the trampoline. And then mm-hmm. she's like, oh, like how much do you weigh? And I told her, and she's like, yeah, I think you have to reduce your weight. Maybe that's why you have the backache. I was like, is that the first thing that you're going to go to, like, without asking me anything else?
It's scary, because if doctors do that, then you are just limiting the whole medical system is not built to provide, like, for every person. Because, like, if you've got, in this case, it's back pain. So if you have a person who comes in who is, like, within the standard BMI, which is a whole other question, and they're going to be like, okay, so maybe let's see what habits you've got. Whereas if it's a bigger person who's coming in, they're just going to, like you say, they're just going to be like, oh, you're overweight, which is another term I don't like. And so we're just going to be focusing on that, just lose the weight. And the thing is, yes, there are things that might help when you lose weight, because there's going to be less pressure on your joints. There are going to be certain things. I'm not saying that's wrong, but to just give that as a solution, maybe you're actually a heavy person who's running marathons. You might be healthier than the thin person, because there are very large bodied people who are very, very healthy, whose blood works are perfectly fine. They don't have joint problems. It might require different things, but it's still possible. So for a doctor to just jump to that conclusion, that's where I'd say a real problem lies.
100%. I think if we've learned anything, especially in this past year with the pandemic and COVID, is like, there is just no picture for health. Like, you cannot possibly see somebody and say, oh, this person is healthy, this person is not. Because the argument has always been like, oh my God, this person had such a severe case of COVID, but he's super healthy. He eats so healthy. He exercises. And it's like, yeah, but that is not just the picture of health. Like, there's so much more. You truly don't know what's going on inside someone's body. So I like that you mentioned that, which is like, you can be a little bit on the bigger side and be flexible in yoga, for example, or be a marathon runner. Like, it doesn't look a certain way, but we've been conditioned to, you know, see this as healthy. Like, if you look a certain way, you're considered the picture of health. But if you look the other way, you're not. And I agree that if you don't feel good and you do want to release some weight, like I did at the beginning of this year, I released around 35 pounds, and I'm not gonna lie, it did make me feel a little bit better. You know, like, I'm not gonna sit here and say like, I wish I had those, took all that weight back, because I don't. And I do feel much better, but it's just about like not fixating on that so much, I think.
No, totally. And also to remember that what we do, like, I think there's one thing about weight loss, and then there is one thing about intentional weight loss and the way we do it and what our focus is. If we focus on the habits, then the weight loss might come as a consequence. But if the weight loss in itself is our goal, that's when it's most likely going to backfire. If we change our habits and the effect is that we lose weight, then of course you might have, like, you are going to have the helpful benefits, but you would have them should you have lost the weight or not, because you changed maybe the way you ate, maybe you added in exercise, I don't know what you did. But those things, they can never be wrong if they are things that you really want to do. What I'm sort of like going a little bit against, or where I have a problem, is when we keep attaching it to the specific outcome of weight loss. When we say weight loss is going to change, no. Doctors can tell me maybe you want to up your exercise game, but don't tell me to lose 20 pounds, because if I just take off 20 pounds from today till tomorrow, nothing has changed. I'm going to be lighter, but nothing has changed. I'm not going to be healthier because of it. And that's what I have a problem with.
Yeah, you're so right. Because when I released the weight, I actually was not focusing on weight loss at all. Like, I was just wanting a better relationship with food. That's really how I started my journey. I was like, I just need to understand how to eat better. And that's what I focused on. And, you know, like you said, the weight just naturally, like I just naturally released the weight. And it wasn't that I was so focused and I was not weighing myself excessively, for example. And I've done that, you know, like I've been in diet culture for like 15 plus years before I broke it. So it's like, I understand how much anxiety that is. And I think that anxiety or that anxiousness does not help you at all. It actually makes it worse. And it almost like sends a stress response to the body, and the body ends up holding the weight instead of like releasing it. I don't know. It's almost like your body going into survival mode, you know, like I'm not going to let this go. Like I'm just going to hold on to this weight. But I think when you kind of relax a little bit, the body's like, okay, it's safe.
Totally. Like the whole relax. We think the more we control stuff, the better controlled things are going to be. And what we really, really, really need to do, or most of us need to do, is chill out. Like just relax. Because the thing is, like you're saying, it feels like the body's response is to hold on. Like our bodies are constructed to keep us alive. Yeah. So if they feel a threat that I'm going to be deprived, I'm going to go into starvation, it's going to do whatever it can to get you to eat. And it doesn't matter if it's physically that you're like, I'm not going to eat these foods, or if it's just like, I'm going to eat it, but I'm still going to beat myself up over it. And your body's going to be like, ooh, maybe then tomorrow I won't get food, so I might as well hold on and ask you. So that's why willpower, for example, with these things are not going to work either, because one day you're not going to be able to stand that. And that's how we get into the whole binge diet cycle anyway. So for me, I find it's the best way, like the healthiest thing that we can do is like to find what's the most healthful way that I can be in living a life that I'm actually enjoying. And you get to decide also whether health is or isn't. Like you're not a better person just because you think that you should work out, or you want to work out five times a week. Or if you don't, that's your decision and no one should judge you because of that. And that's also like, it's okay if you're a little bit bigger, if you are working out. And like, where does all these judgments come from?
Yeah, you're so right. You are so right. It's like, there's a lot of messaging out there that if we are not aware of what they're truly trying to tell us, it's so easy to get swept up in that. You know, like I find that one of the most important thing for me in my journey towards like holistic health and, you know, taking care of my mind, body, soul as a whole, really, is to be very aware. So self-awareness, and most recently is self-acceptance, because I was beating myself up so much for like, you know, eating a piece of cake or eating ice cream. And then I told myself, I'm like, I'm going to journal like everything that I ate. And when I started recording the foods that I was eating, I didn't realize that 80% of it was truly foods that I believe nourish my soul. You know, like I eat a lot of greens, I eat a lot of lean meats, I eat a lot of, you know, things that make me feel very light, like things that I guess when I connect to my soul, it really does feed my soul. But it's almost like my mind is so tricky in a way that it only focuses on like the two times that I would eat cake in the week, you know, and then telling myself, why would you do that? Like, why would you eat cake at 3 p.m.? You know, like, why did you enjoy that with a cup of coffee? Like, you shouldn't just add in calories, you know? So I think coming from background of like eating disorders, that is just so hard sometimes. But, you know, self-awareness, self-acceptance, self-love, I guess, at the end of the day, also just like being really graceful is really important. And I do want to go into like the role of your mind when it comes to, you know, having healthy habits. But before that, I'm curious about your journey. Like, how did you come to do this work? What was your journey of finding food and body freedom?
Oh my God. I think it's like what most girls or many, like you see, you're young, and I'm born 83. So it's like, I think things might have changed a little bit, but it's still the same stuff. Like my mom was on Weight Watchers, like the whole keto thing and the carbs and everything maybe wasn't such a big deal, but it was like counting points and like, this is fine, but for me, I need to eat this, like, or and body shaming themselves. And you see this all the time. And I wasn't a skinny, I don't remember, like when I was a child, I don't really know, but like when I was starting to get aware, I was a little bit chubbier maybe than my friends. And especially I remember like in sixth grade, like I was about the same size as my best friend. And then after summer break, she came back and was just all of a sudden very thin. And for me, I had just probably just stayed the same. And then it was talked about like, oh, maybe you should just have a couple of pieces of bread. Maybe you shouldn't have that. And then it wasn't like really a big thing, but it's like I remember those things were already there. And then the biggest change, I think, was when I was about 16, 17, I went to the United States and it's as an exchange student. And at the first time I was like, oh, this, I'm losing weight, because I felt afraid to go like into the cupboard and start eating stuff. So I would just eat stuff when it was placed in front of me. And then I gained confidence. Of course, I was hungry because I wasn't eating enough, which is normally the case. So then I would just be like, oh, now I can go into the cupboard. So I would eat everything. And then in the end, I had gained so much weight. I was dealing with anxiety and pressure that I put on myself. I was like high performance, A-type person. And I was with that. So I guess food became like my thing. And then I came back. I went into Weight Watchers, lost weight. And then I started university. And the anxiety there just drew me again. And I was trying to control my life by controlling my food. And then in the end, it just backfired. And I started gaining weight instead. I didn't stop. I went traveling. And when I was traveling, it's like just allowing myself to have everything that I maybe didn't. So I gained a whole bunch of weight traveling, came back, and then get back on diets. So it's just like the whole binge diet thing. So you're like, yeah, the diet works. And then you gain it back and a little bit more. And yes, the diet works. Like in the end, you've gained weight, but you just see like it does work, but it doesn't. And yeah. Then after that, I was just like, I don't want to be, I had been like, my mom sent me to therapy because they felt like I was crazy around food and stuff, but it wasn't like eating disordered therapy. It was just like therapy in general, which really, really helped with anxiety and stuff. And then my parents got really ill and I had so much on my plate. I was managing like jobs and it was so crazy. And so I just had bigger stuff to worry about than food. And all of a sudden I was just eating what I wanted. If I had a sandwich for dinner, I did. If I wanted to have a bag of candy for dinner, I did. I didn't really care. I was just eating whatever. And all of a sudden, like things just like balance themselves out. And that's when I realized maybe control isn't the thing. And I started looking into like self-love stuff. And I went traveling again and I ended up starting to dance, which I had never done in my life. I was 30. I came to Colombia and I started dancing and I loved it. But it was a challenge, like getting into the dance world, because I'm constantly surrounded by mirrors. But it also allowed me to connect back to my body. And then at the same time, like being curious about self-care and self-love and like accepting myself. But it took me a few years before I could actually not try to be on that self-love, like love myself to be thin. Because that's another diet, isn't it? Like you can do. So I got in touch with intuitive eating and just reading up on a bunch of stuff. And in the end, I took help from a coach to work through like the last pieces of my mindset thing and getting like the last bits, because I've had so many bits and pieces, but I couldn't get them to click for me. I couldn't. And I was so afraid. Like I thought that one day I'm going to get to a point where I'm never going to feel bad about my body again. And when that day didn't come, I was like, there is something wrong with me. And what I needed to realize was that that is an expectation that we shouldn't, in quotation, have, because it's not realistic. Like even normal eaters are going to be having bad or difficult feelings about their body. That's not what it's about, but they don't get stuck in it. Like it doesn't stop them from enjoying a holiday. It doesn't stop them from packing their bag to go somewhere. And I think that's what recovery looks like when we are having a healthful relationship. And especially if it's going to come up more for us if we've struggled with it before. But just to know and expect that's going to happen, that we are going to have difficult feelings around our bodies, but have the tools and know that it, like, knowing our hearts that doesn't define my worth and being able to get ourselves out of that before it spins out of control. So it was a long journey for me. I don't think it has to be for everyone. I learned a lot on the way, not just about food. Like changing my relationship with food and exercise and all that changed many other things about my life as well.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like food has been one of my greatest teachers, like aside from nature and like, you know, learning to trust myself, but like food in general, I'm like, wow, I'm learning so much about myself and my emotions just by being more aware about my eating habits. And I do agree with you about the whole travel thing. Actually, traveling was one of the things that brought me the most anxiety when I was in diet culture, because it's like, I knew that I was going to let myself go whenever I would travel. You know, it's like, I'm going to eat everything and then I'm going to come back and then someone's going to make a comment and say like, what did you eat during your vacation? Because you've gained weight. And I think where I come from, it's kind of sad to say this, but it's like in Indonesia, it's just so normal. Like it's actually a topic of conversation. When you meet somebody, like the first thing you say is about, like you just comment about their weight. You know, it's like, oh, you've lost weight or you've gained weight. Like I just heard this like 2 days ago. Someone said it to my brother, you know, like you've gained so much weight. And my brother's like, okay. You know, it's like, you just don't know how to react to that. And my brother is kind of going through this whole thing where he's like, are my eating habits okay? And I'm like, okay, I think you're starting to get into the cycle that I was in like 2 years ago. So I'm trying to help him, but he's not, you know, as aware, and I'm not judging him, but I'm just kind of observing. But yeah, it's just so normal where I'm from. It's just kind of like, it's so funny how people think that's like an icebreaker.
In Colombia, it's the same way, and it makes me so angry. Like it's like as normal to comment on that as to ask like, do you want milk in your coffee? It's like the same thing, and I'm just like, well, do we not have anything more interesting to talk about?
Yeah,
but, like I can handle that now, but I also was there, and it can really throw someone into a very dark hole, because that's our fear. It's about being judged. Like that's the whole thing. We are afraid of gaining weight because of the judgment we ourselves hold of the fat. We're not afraid of the fat. We're afraid of what we make fat mean.
Yes.
And about us and for other people. And if we're not growing ourselves and how our self-worth from the inside, then of course it's going to matter a lot more what other people think. So it's very, I try to, I guess I don't get into many discussions, but I do try to with people who don't want to, but I do try to help and educate people around me not to comment on people's weight, because I find that being so important. You don't know what they're struggling with.
Yeah, I actually told my family, I'm like, you don't have to tell me if I have lost weight or if I've gained weight. Because sometimes they tell me that I've lost weight as a compliment, you know, but I tell them, I'm like, it's okay. I understand what you're trying to say. Like, I understand where you're coming from. Like, especially my dad who says it, like my dad doesn't understand all these things. Like I had to really tell him like, hey, I'm going through some stuff. So do not make a comment about just my weight. Like, don't make a comment about the way I look, and especially in relation to my weight. But for him, he's like, he doesn't get it. So, okay, I kind of give him that, but he does hold space for me and he listens. But I do tell my family, like, you don't have to tell me even if I've lost weight or if you think that, you know, I'm a little bit quote unquote thinner, because for them, they think they're complimenting me. Like, you've done such a good job, you know? So I agree. I try to educate as much as I can, but now it doesn't bother me as much like you, you know, for me, it's like, okay. But like you said, for other people, it could be a very slippery slope, because hearing that can just trigger something, I guess in your mind too, right? Like that voice and the self-talk that you have that is not empowering at all.
Totally. And the thing is, I sometimes find it harder to hear that I've lost weight or that someone feels like, oh, because that is enhancing the fear of that, but what if I change and gain weight then? Because it's really what you are doing by complementing weight loss, you are you're just like buying into and confirming that there are good and bad bodies, basically. Like thin bodies are better than large bodies. You are giving, it's coming from a good place, but sometimes we need to think a little bit further than that.
Yeah, 100%. So can we talk about that self-talk? How important is the mind when it comes to wanting to transform your habits, especially your eating habits? I like that you said it's not that we're afraid to get fat, but it's the judgment around fat. So it's almost like what we think about it more than what it actually is.
Totally. Remember we were talking about how our body responds to deprivation of food. Like you can eat whatever you want, but if you or not eat whatever you want, but if you judge yourself because of it, that's what makes the difference. So basically I always say, like, the more you judge yourself or your food or your eating habits, that's how much power you're giving food. So really only by looking at those things, like what, and working through your own judgments around that, is how food in the end is going to lose its power over you. And I think one way to start, like, I think if we are coming from a place of where we're unhappy in our bodies, it might be hard to go straight into intuitive eating and starting trusting ourselves because of the anxiety that's going to pull on. Like even if it's something that we need to do, it might be hard to start there because it's going to pull us even further and even harder into the things that we've been restricting. So maybe one way to start is to look at if I think of a thin person and a bigger bodied person, a fat person, what do I believe to be true about those? Like, what is it about, you know, like things that we would, like, it's quite common. A thin person probably is happy. She has a great relationship. She might be educated. She does a bunch of stuff. She's having a fun life. And then we've got the fat lady, and we're going to think that she doesn't move. She sits on the couch. She's lazy. Maybe she's smelly. Maybe she's not as educated. She doesn't care. She let herself go. She's probably depressed. Like, we've got so many things. And I've been guilty of those things. If we say we don't judge anyone, we're just being like really ignorant. That's not true.
That's a lie.
We can work through it. Yeah. It's a lie. Totally. So just that's a place to start. Like, what do I, because that's just going to bring us to like, what am I really afraid of? And then start talking back to these things. Like, can I find someone that is fat that does not represent these judgments that I have? Like, there are a lot of people on TV, a lot of people that can be role models for you that are living lives that you're like, I'm actually admiring this person. If we can find role models now with Instagram and everything, it's quite easy. Like finding that, like reprogramming our brain into seeing other stuff as normal.
Wow, that is such a good point. And I think a lot of our listeners just had an aha moment, because you don't realize some of these beliefs, we've just been conditioned to think this way. And I want to say partly movies and Hollywood plays a really big part in that, because when I was younger, I just never thought it would be possible to see somebody on the heavier side on movies or like TV shows. Obviously now it's so much better, you know, like now there's a lot of inclusivity, there's a lot of diversity. So of course things are definitely changing, but that's a really good point. Do you have any advice for people who want to shift that conversation in their head? So when they hear that little voice tell them like, you shouldn't eat that, or, you know, what are you doing? Like, I can't believe you're eating cake right now. Like, how do we start to kind of befriend that voice, I guess, instead of saying, what's wrong with me? Yeah. Like, I'm
I
doomed.
Think the worst thing that we can do is to be like, I don't want to have these thoughts, because that would be like, I'm not going to think about a pink elephant. Like, the only thing that you're going to think about is a pink elephant. Like, you can't do that. That's not going to work.
I just thought about it.
I think you just had a pink elephant.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but like, that's that, because that's what we want to do. It's like, I don't want to have these thoughts anymore. The more we try not to think something, we're going to think it even more. Like, what we try to, it's like what we try to restrict persists. Like, that's not going to work. So for me, I think I tried to do it a little bit like I did when I was just focusing on anxiety, which was like, hi, worry, I hear you. I'm not going to listen to you. So like, okay, you're there, that's fine. We can coexist here, and I'm going to do this. And I stop and I pause and I'll be like, what do I need right now? And so it may not talk back to the voice to make it go away, but sort of like learn to accept, to coexist with it, and not like do making that, not reacting to it. Like, try to be like, okay, so you're not okay, so I'm still gonna have this cake, and that's fine. Like, it's, and if I have to do that 100 times to myself in a day, I'm going to do that 100 times to myself that day. It's annoying, it's frustrating. I had that just a couple of weeks ago, actually. Like we were saying, it doesn't go away, because I'm going through some changes right now. I've been a competitive dancer for like 7 years, and now for a year I haven't danced. Of course, my body changed, and sometimes every now and then, now going back to Colombia again, I am thinking, oh my God, now. But I was like, well, yeah, so I'm just going to have to do that self-talk again and be like, okay, hi, I hear you, but I know better. I am good anyway. I'm freaking awesome. I go tell myself, like, you should hear the conversations I have in my mind. But I think that's what we have to do, because it's just part of the work. And another thing I wanted to add to this is like, as well as just like talking to ourselves in our minds, I think sometimes when we do these things, it's like, oh, I shouldn't eat cake, or we get into the whole emotional eating, and I shouldn't be eating because I'm not actually hungry, and I shouldn't be because, yeah, it's not like real hunger. But one thing that my coach said to me that really stuck with me that I love is, if you eat just for fuel, it's like having sex only for reproduction. And how boring would that be?
Oh my God, I never thought about that.
Because it's like, well, yeah, we're going to only have sex for babies. Like, what's that about? So I'm stealing her quote. Her name is Isabel Duke. She's great. That's one thing. And the other thing is, instead of trying to, because we make the excuse of like, I'm not going to emotionally eat because I should deal with my feelings. So instead of eating, I should do these bunch of, I know you can't see me, but I'm moving my hand like, you're going to be like, we need to do these things instead, but stop thinking about doing things instead. Like, you can journal and eat, and then you don't have to choose. And then your mind is not going to be like, you're restricting me right now, I'm going to want to have it, because you know, you're going to have the water, then you're going to have the coffee, then you're going to have the apples, and in the end, you're going to have the whole bag of chips or the cake or whatever anyway. So instead of just be like, okay, I'm going to have this delicious cake, I'm going to enjoy it because life is too short, and I'm going to journal and see what I feel about it. I think that's a better way to think about these things.
Totally. I resonate with that. And I think, like you said, we have the voice of the mind, the ego, and the voice of the soul, or like our inner spirit all the time. And it's about who we choose to listen to. So just saying, hi, I know you're here, but let me give the microphone to the voice of the soul. Like, I'm going to let her lead. And I completely agree about the whole emotional eating thing. I was stuck in that loop too for a while, where I'm like, okay, I want to eat a slice of cake, but what am I feeling right now that I want to eat cake? And sometimes I'm like, I just want to fucking eat cake. Like, I really just want to eat cake for no rhyme or reason. I want to eat cake. And it doesn't mean that I'm suppressing some type of emotion. Of course, I'm aware of the patterns where I do that. 2 days ago, I had an argument and I just knew that I was feeling so shitty. And I didn't want to feel what I was feeling. And I did drown myself in, like, you know, a few muffins. And I knew as I was eating the muffin, I was like, this is like, I'm just masking the not wanting to feel some feelings, you know, and I was super aware of it. Doesn't happen all the time. Finished the muffin, you know, was feeling a little bit guilty. But again, I was able to kind of catch myself and tell that voice in my head, like, you know, hey, it's okay. Like, we're not going to go through this like loop and cycle again. Like, you were completely aware. It's not like you were unconscious. You made that decision. And like, there's no reason for you to beat yourself up. But sometimes I feel like we overcomplicate things so much. Like, we start to be like, what do we need to do? What are you suppressing? What's happening deep within? And sometimes you just want to enjoy a slice of cake with friends or a glass of wine. And there's nothing wrong about that.
Totally. And like, there are different reasons for eating. Like, one is because we're really hungry. That's one thing. Emotional eating, we might want to have birthday cake, or like you said, I wanted to soothe my emotions. I didn't want to feel the feels that time. So I'm just going to cope with, like, it's a coping mechanism, and it's a perfectly normal coping mechanism. And if you've had like food problems before, you're going to turn to it, or we're going to turn to it in a bigger, maybe more than someone who hasn't. But that's just like normal physiology, how your body works. And then there is when we start to judging ourselves, and when we eat as a reaction to how we are judging our food, or if you started judging yourself for those muffins and then kept eating, then that's when it turns into, I like to call it as reactionary eating. Most people would probably refer it as to binge eating, but I think it's really just to distinguish it. It's a reaction to the thoughts that you're having, the judgment you're having about that. And that, yes, might be something we want to deal with. And that's something that we can actually get away from, but only by not judging your food. Emotionally eating as a coping mechanism might just sometimes be the healthiest thing you can do. Your boyfriend breaks up with you, you're really sad, there is a Ben and Jerry's in the freezer. I prefer to do that than beat myself over thinking I'm awful because he broke up with me, or just like doing something other self-destructive behavior. I think the only problem is when it becomes the only coping mechanism that we have. So again, add other stuff in. Don't take it out, but be like, okay, so what else can I do? I'm going to have the ice cream. What else can I do? Maybe I want to call a friend as well, so I don't have all of these things in my mind anymore. Like, add stuff in. Don't just focus on taking stuff out.
Yeah, I actually find myself that I can be on both extremes. Like, when my boyfriend broke up with me 2 years ago, I just didn't eat. Like, I was like, I had no appetite. But then sometimes when something sad happens to me, I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna eat. So both ways, or both ends of the spectrum, involves food in some way or the other, or eating, you know, which when I was going through my journey, I was like, that's so interesting. Like, food is just such a big part of my life. And for the longest time, I didn't even put spirituality and food together. And now I'm like, my connection to my soul has everything to do with my eating habits. Like, it's just something that goes hand in hand, and I never saw it that way. But I firmly believe that food and eating is a spiritual act. I don't know if you've heard of Janine Roth. Do you know her?
Yes. Well, no, I don't know her a lot, but yes, I know who she is.
Yeah. So she kind of talks about, you know, like the deep connection within ourselves and how that relates to like our eating habits. So some of her books are actually really good. But yeah, I mean, it's just something that I never thought about, that, you know, eating and food is so much more than just eating and food.
Mm-hmm. No, totally. I agree. And it's, I think for me as well, like, I never thought myself as a spiritual person, but doing any type of self-growth work that you do, I think it's inevitable that it goes like and get in. It doesn't have to be a religion. It might not be a person, or you're not something, but it does change you at the core, and it brings things in that you might not have thought about, and in ways that you might not be able to put words on, but it does change things for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes we feel like spirituality has to look like a certain way, but sometimes it's so simple. It's just like the little things that we do every day can be like a spiritual act, you know, even like going out on a walk and admiring nature. Like for me, that's like, wow, what a deep spiritual experience that is. And it's not something that's like, ah, so crazy and like woo woo.
Yeah, no, it was just like when you were saying that. And I think for me, the whole concept of about mindfulness has been one of those things. And I think the way that I could actually finally understand it was with food. Like when I was trying to like doing intuitive eating and actually being allowed, like, what does this taste like? Like what does it feel like in my body? And it was really hard because I wasn't used to doing that. And then the whole just like pause and be in the present moment and take in what's there without worrying what was, what's going to happen, and not worrying about the outcome, just be like here and now. And that's, I think, one of the biggest tools as well. Just like, what do I need right here, right now? Food, coping, exercise, movement, thought, anything. It comes down to that. Like, what do I need right now? What's, and if you want to add health into it, what's the most helpful thing that I can do right now for my mind, my body, and my soul? And that has to go together.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that. A question that I ask all my guests before we kind of wrap up is, what is the best advice that you've ever gotten?
I am going, like, there are so many that I sort of live by, but one that has helped me in many situations, and obviously not just around food and my body, is that if you're going to laugh about it later, you might as well laugh about it now. And I think that's good because it's like when it comes to confidence and when it comes to whatever, it's just like not take ourselves too seriously and just be able to chill out. And also got like what the mindset of not, oh shit, this happened to me. And what is going to happen? Like life happens. It's okay. Maybe I learned something, see what happens. And that's it.
I love that. It's, I mean, I don't know where I would be without humor and laughter. Some of the things that happened to me, I'm like, you have to laugh it off or you're going to go crazy. Like I always tell people that too. I'm like, just don't take life and yourself seriously. That energy, that lighthearted, childlike energy, it actually changes everything. Tell us where our listeners can find you. And if they would like to work with you, what do you have going on?
Well, yes, I am mainly hanging out on Instagram and it's easy. It's Lisa_writing. You find me quite easily. I'm also on Facebook, Lisa Writing. You can find me there. Feel free to DM me. I love to connect with my audience and have chats. And I try to be quite active on my stories. And I do have openings for one-on-one coaching now. And what I do is a minimum of 3 months or 12 weeks working together out. Like it can be healing your relationship with food and body, and mainly to make you feel confident and living your life fully in the body that you have right now. Not trying to fix and put band-aids on stuff, but be happy the way you are right now and live your life fullest, most confidently version of yourself.
Thank you so much for your time, Lisa.
No, thank you. It was lovely talking with you and it's great work that you do, and good luck in the future as well with the podcast and with your own journey.
I would love to know what you learned from this episode. What were your main takeaways? Please connect with me over on Instagram and YouTube at SoulSense with Silkina. Also, give us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcast. I read every single one of them and I love them. Thank you for listening. Subscribe to SoulSense with Silkina wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode.